16, verse 2, let us hear God's holy word. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Proverbs 18, 12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 9, 9. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. Proverbs 15, 33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 22, 4. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. And finally, Proverbs 1, 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and let us pray. O Lord, as we consider these proverbs from your holy word, I pray that you would teach us about wisdom and humility, and that you would help us to walk in that way. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A few years ago, I heard Garrison Keillor tell the story of Florian and Myrtle Krebsbach, an older couple who lived in a small farming town in northern Minnesota. Now, Florian and Myrtle never ventured very far from home. That's why everyone was so surprised that they decided one day to make a trip to the big city of Minneapolis. It was the second Tuesday of February, and it was unseasonably warm for that time of year in northern Minnesota. They had one of those weeks where the sun kept shining, and it melted all the snow that was on the ground, and you could even see little hints of green in the grass. Well, it got everyone thinking about spring, even though they knew that they shouldn't. It was a lesson that they had learned far too many times, but it was a lesson that they could learn again, I suppose. It was like spring painted on a brick wall. When you reach in to pick the flowers, you bust your knuckles. And so you have to be careful. This type of weather affects people in strange ways, and it affected Florian and Myrtle that week. You see, the trip to Minneapolis was Myrtle's idea, for she woke up one morning with what she thought were symptoms. Symptoms that she thought were a lot like the symptoms that she read about in a question and answer section in the newspaper that morning. She felt a bump on the back of her head that was not there before, and she found some hair in her comb and some blood on her toothbrush. And so she called down to a clinic in Minneapolis and made an appointment. She couldn't see any of the doctors around her own town because she had seen them all already, and they all told her that she was just fine. And so she thought she'd make an appointment in Minneapolis. And as she called Minneapolis, she thought about a proverb that she had heard in church the previous Sunday. And she thought about those arrogant doctors all around her town. It was Proverbs 18:2 that came to her mind. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Florian and Myrtle were devout Catholics, members of the St. Andrew's Roman Catholic Church, and the Old Testament lectionary readings for that week were from Proverbs. Myrtle was happy that she had memorized it, just like Father Nicholas had recommended. For Proverbs 18:2 seemed prophetic about the doctors all around her town, airing their own opinions. And she thought, surely the doctors in Minneapolis will be more understanding of my condition. And so they headed out to Minneapolis. They left early in the morning. Their appointment wasn't until 12 o'clock noon, but they thought, hey, a couple hours early, no problem. We wanted to make sure we would get there. So they went down the country road and onto the state highway, and all of a sudden, there they were on the interstate. Two old people scared out of their wits. Myrtle clutching her purse as if someone was going to come and snatch it right out of her hand. Those big, thick glasses, looking out, those little beady eyes, eyes that looked like a lizard's eyes. Florian cruising down the interstate 40 miles an hour in his 1979 Chevy with 42,000 miles on it. He was proud of that. But he thought to himself, you don't keep 42,000 miles on a 79 Chevy by driving off to Minneapolis every time something comes up. Scared to death, semi-trucks, swoosh, swoosh, rushing by him, thinking that one of them was going to come right up his rear end and eliminate them from the earth right then and there. Well, with semi-trucks whipping by him at ungodly speeds, Florian sat there and he cleared his throat. And said to Myrtle, well, if it was up to me, I would just as soon turn around and go home. Well, that was the wrong thing to say. In the mood that Myrtle was in, she was in one of those moods where she was waiting for him to say something wrong. And he was already coming up with a speech in case he did. And then she lit into him. That sounds about right. You don't care if I lived or died. That's just like you. You would rather go home, wouldn't you? Just turn around. You don't care about me one bit. You never did, you never will, so I don't know why I should be surprised now. You don't care one bit. Florian listened to it for a while. Didn't really know what to say. And then she said, you want to be free to go off and do whatever you want to do. I know you. Well, think about it. A man that drives a 79 Chevy with 42,000 miles on it isn't waiting around to become a playboy. But he listened to her. And he was thinking about one of those Proverbs that he read in the lectionary that week too. It happened to be Proverbs 18:12, which says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. He thought about that verse for a while, and he was pretty sure that when it said a man's heart, that it meant a woman's heart too. And he was about to quote that proverb to her, but then he thought better of it and decided against it. He just kept his mouth shut. Two old people cruising down the interstate, silent as could be for a few minutes. Usually Myrtle would narrate the trip, read off the billboards, point out interesting livestock. And there she was, just silent, steaming in her mind. And finally, Florian said, well, I would too care if you died. And she said, oh yeah? Oh yeah? How much would you care? Well, Florian's not real good with those theoretical type of questions. And he had to think about it for a while. And so a few more miles went by in complete silence, and he didn't say anything, and she didn't say anything. And finally, that was it. She spoke up and she said, "You wouldn't care one bit. You wouldn't even miss me if I was gone." Well, it's too bad that they had that argument. And it's too bad that after about another half hour and stopping at a truck stop, he got in his car and drove off without her. It was Florian's idea to stop. He thought that maybe some coffee would calm them down a little bit. And so they sat there at a little truck stop diner and had a few cups. And then all of a sudden the pie looked pretty good. And so Florian had a big slab of banana cream pie. Myrtle ordered a big hunk of lemon meringue. As the waitress set that lemon meringue pie on Myrtle's placemat, he thought to himself, how appropriate, an old sourpuss like her eating lemon pie. But before he spoke the words, he thought about another proverb that he read in church. Now, this time it was Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes honor. And so Florian, instead of putting his foot in his mouth, he decided that the banana cream pie would taste a little bit better. And so he ate the rest of his pie in silence. After they had finished their coffee and finished their pie and went back out to the car, he thought to himself, well, it's still a little ways until Minneapolis. I better go use the restroom. And so he went in to use the men's room, and while he was in there, Myrtle thought to herself, well, I should probably use the women's lavatory too. And so she went back in. Florian came out of the restroom, sat down in his car, turned the engine on, checked his side view mirror, and pulled out onto the highway without her in the car. Now, you would think that he would notice her not being there in the passenger side. But Florian had a lot on his mind. And he was thinking slowly, which is about the only way that Florian thought. He was thinking to himself how much he would miss her if she was gone. He was thinking about how lonely he would be at night, all by himself in that big double bed. And when he turned to tell her how much he would miss her if she was gone, you could have knocked him over with a stick. He eased on to the curb of the road, foot off the accelerator, and coasted to a stop. He thought, maybe she sat in the back. He didn't think so, but he turned around just to check to be sure. Nope, she wasn't there. And he thought about it for a second, thought, well, I would have noticed if she had jumped out somewhere along the road, wouldn't I? Sure I would. I would have noticed that. And then it hit him. He remembered the truck stop, and he thought, oh gosh, how could I have done that? He had driven almost 20 miles at that point. And so he got off at the next exit to try to turn around and head back to the truck stop. And when he got off the exit and was driving, his mind was so confused that all of a sudden he realized that he was not on the interstate anymore. That little ditch that went right down the middle between the two roads wasn't there. He was on some other highway, but he didn't know which one. Everything looked different to him. The fields looked different. The barns didn't seem the same, and he was scared to death because he didn't know where he was. It was right about that time that he came across a sign that read Bolivia. Now he said to himself, well, I didn't even know there was a town in Minnesota called Bolivia. But sure enough, there it was. He drove into this little village, post office on this side, a little red brick fire station on that side, and a country store right up the road. He thought about stopping and asking for directions. But you have to realize that Florian Krebsbach is not the type of man that stops and asks for directions. If Myrtle had been with him and he had gotten lost, he would have driven around all afternoon until he just got lucky and found his way back home, and he would have pretended like he knew what he was doing the whole time. He called that the scenic route. I can tell by your smiles that some of you ladies have taken that scenic route before, haven't you? Well, Florian was thinking that this was no time for pride, and another proverb popped into his mind. He sure was thankful for church on Sunday. Proverbs 9:9, which he remembered verbatim, said, "Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning." Well, Florian didn't feel very wise at the moment, and he knew that he was in need of some instruction. And so, against his nature, he got out of his car and went into the country store. And thankfully, there was a man at the store that got him straightened out and headed back toward the interstate. He got back to the truck stop about 2 hours later. And when he walked in, he looked all around for his wife Myrtle, but she was not there. He asked the waitress, he said, "Did you see my wife?" And she said, "Oh, do you mean the lady in the blue coat?" Well, he couldn't remember what color coat she had on. As a matter of fact, he couldn't really remember how to describe her at all, except maybe as mad. The waitress said, "Oh, that lady. Her husband came and picked her up about an hour ago." So Carl was in on it now. When Florian finally got back to his hometown, it was a number of hours later, and he decided to stop at the sidetrack tap for a beer before he went home. And he thought, after all that he had been through already and all that he was about to endure, a beer might do him well. But after the beer didn't help him come up with a good explanation, he decided to just go home. And so he turned down the lane and saw his little white house in front of him, the one with the green shutters. And he had all intention of going home until he saw Carl's pickup still parked in the driveway. And so he decided to keep on going. He kept on going the whole way down to the end of the road. And he parked on a gravel road that led to Roger Hedlund's hayfield. He turned out his lights and he watched the sun set over the horizon, waiting, watching, and thinking about what he was going to do. And then all of a sudden he wondered what would happen if Roger Hedlund came out and asked him what he was doing, just sitting there parked. It's not something you do in that neck of the woods. And all of a sudden he came up with a plan. He said, "I thought if Roger comes out, I'll tell him that I'm out in my truck because I wanted to listen to a radio show, a Lutheran show. The old lady wouldn't allow that in the house." And he thought, Roger would like that. He's Lutheran. And Florian was listening to a radio show, and it very well could have been Lutheran. There was a preacher on the radio, and he was preaching fire and brimstone, talking about sinners who had strayed from the path. A lot of it seemed to apply to him personally. About the path of righteousness being narrow, but broad is the road that leadeth to destruction. It seemed to recommend against driving on interstates. The preacher was preaching about forgiveness, but Florian wondered if this preacher really knew anything about forgiveness. He wondered, had this preacher ever left his wife at a truck stop? Did this preacher know what he was up against? Florian doubted it. And then a woman came on after the sermon was over, and she sang a sweet hymn. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See by the portals, he's waiting and watching, calling, oh sinner, come home. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. And Florian decided to humble himself and go home. Not just because of the hymn, but also because the beer and the coffee were beginning to back up to the point of no return. And there's a lot of crazy things that Florian might do, but take a leak in another man's field is not one of them. And as he turned on his headlights, he saw his son Carl pull out of the driveway and head down the road. And Florian inched into his driveway and coasted into the garage. He left the door open, just in case. And when he stepped onto the porch and put his hand on the doorknob, he was surprised to find that it wasn't locked. In all their years of marriage, they never locked their doors. But he thought she might tonight, if she knew he was coming home. And when he opened the door and stepped in the house, he smelled supper cooking. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes, powdered milk biscuits in the oven. And he stepped through the mudroom and looked into the kitchen, and there she was, her back toward him, with a wooden spoon in this hand hovering over the counter. And she had her old tattered King James Bible open before her. He didn't know it at the time, but she was reading Proverbs 22:4. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. And then all of a sudden she turned around with tears streaming down her face. She went running over to him and wrapped her arms around him and said, oh, thank God. I'm so glad you're safe. I'm so glad you're home. And then she said, oh, Daddy, don't ever leave me like that again. Oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry that I said what I said to make you so angry that you would walk out and leave me like that. You know I didn't mean it. Please don't ever leave me like that again, she said. He was going to tell her that he hadn't left her, but that he had forgotten her, until it began to dawn on him that it would be better to be dumb out of passion than to be just plain dumb. And so he didn't tell her. They slept so close to each other that night. And when they woke up the next morning and were eating their breakfast of scrambled eggs and toast and coffee, Myrtle felt so much better. For the bump on the back of her head was gone. No more hair in her comb, no more blood on her toothbrush. And she looked over at Florian and said, do you think I ought to call that clinic down there in Minneapolis and let them know that I'm not coming? Florian said, nah, I wouldn't bother. They probably know by now. As they sat there at their kitchen table holding hands, thinking back over the previous day's events, thinking about wisdom and humility, Florian reached over to the other side of the table and picked up the bulletin from the previous Sunday's Mass. And when he looked at the back of the bulletin, he noticed that there was a proverb printed on the back. Proverbs 1:5 that said this: "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." As he looked into Myrtle's eyes, they realized that they were both thinking exactly the same thing. That after 56 years of marriage and 76 years of life, there is still so much to learn. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Proverbs, for each one of these sayings that you have given to us. Lord, I pray for each one who is gathered here this morning as we think about this story and how these proverbs apply to our own lives. Lord, it's so easy to get puffed up with pride, to think that we always have the right answer, that our way is the best way. But Lord, your word reminds us that before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility brings honor. Lord, help us to live this day, this week, and the rest of our days humbly walking with you. For we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.